We are halfway through this Blaine and Mickey program on a Thursday. Man, time just flies by. We appreciate you spending part of your day with us. 7 days, and gosh, we're literally getting close to the hour as the afternoon moves on, of being exactly 7 days away from the NFL draft. Again, the Titans have 4 picks out of the first 100, so a busy first couple of days of draft for these Tennessee Titans. We got a question up at the Blaine and Mickey's Twitter account. About, and Blaine hit me with this morning, and I'm trying to make notes for the show, and that's all I could think of was, who's the best Titans first round draft pick ever? And so, I'm getting ready to hit him with Earl Campbell or something, and I think he knows me and knows that I'm such a history buff, so he immediately sends Titans, not Oilers. And then I'm like, ooh. So we started looking, and we tweeted this out early. We've got some great responses so far. Steve Dalton says, hands down, talking about Jamon Kearse, his rookie record still stands true today for most sacks. It's the freak. It's number 90, Jamon Kearse. Andrew says, the freak. MCC72 on Twitter. Boy, anytime it's more than a name, I think, okay, let me try to read through this. He says Kearse or CJ2K. Mm. Eldon was more diplomatic, though, Blaine. Here's what he did. Kearse, Bullock, Lawan, Johnson, and he's got Jeffrey Simmons as pending. Another guy says Albert Haynesworth, another freak. And Jamal said this. I don't know the answer. I'm just here to note that people forgot how dominant Haynesworth was when he was forced to care. I don't know what that means. I think maybe he means contract season.
Yeah.
But but here we go.
All right. In one season, it's up to toss to me between the freak and Albert. I had never seen a D-tackle dominate a game like he did. I don't know what was his fourth or fifth year. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was out there with the freak. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to cover some of these great players that's going to the Hall of Fame. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I got to play with Bullock. People forget. And I got to stand up and watch CJ2K do some amazing things and rush for 2,000 yards. But the way he did it, Barry Sanders-esque with breakaway speed. So I'm baffled with all that, because how do you look at it? Do you look at it as a 1 year best ever draft pick in the first round, or is it the totality of his career with the Titans? Are you looking who was the best first round pick as a Titan?
615-737-1045. So I started making some notes. The first 3 first round draft picks of the Titans, they didn't have one in 01. They took the freak in 99. He was the first ever Titans first round draft pick. Then they took Keith Bullock in 2000, Mr. Monday Night, and a guy that you talked about. They had starting linebackers, and he was so good that they invented ways, what they called the package extra backer, just so they could put him on the field, let him play his 8 to 10 plays. And you said, he'd have 6 tackles and a forced fumble and score a touchdown in his 10 defensive plays, not to mention all the havoc he was wreaking on special teams. So no pick in 01. And then in 02, they picked Haynesworth. The first 3 Titans first-round picks were Jamon Kearse, Keith Bullock, and Albert Haynesworth. That is a legacy of defensive destruction that we have not seen around here since.
Yeah. And that was all Floyd Reese. So that there was an impressive resume of players there as Titans. Man, they were the best. I mean, those are the 3 best ever, and it's a huge debate of who's the best, but I always go with Mr. Monday Night, because he did it time in and time out for a long time. You knew what you was getting. Albert in a 1 season, him and the freak, man, that's a great debate, because I had never seen a D-tackle dominate like that, and he was going all in for the money. It was no question. He was dominant. I mean, and that's hard to be dominant like that in the trenches. I mean, basically, he did it in 1 year, what like Aaron Donald does, has done over his career. He dominated. So I'm probably going to give the edge to the freak because of the caused fumbles on the 1 year best ever. But I still got to go with Mr. Monday Night over the totality. CJ2K for that 1 season, it was like you were watching Pop Warner, like that great player who every time he touched the ball, he was going to score. Well, that's how I feel. And I'm a former NFL player at that time, and just now retired. And I'm going to sit down, and I'm standing up in the suite like, oh, my God, and having a great view bird's eye view over the top of the stadium. You could see it all developing, and you knew when he got the ball, it was about to happen. As soon as he made one guy miss, when he made that jump cut one time and jumped back and then took off like dynamite, I was like, oh my gosh, this is something that I haven't seen in years. I might have seen it when I was in high school. I was like, woo, that was smoke. So, man, it's been some great, great talent. Great talent. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, when you have trouble picking, because Javon Kearse, his first year, he had 14 and a half sacks and 8 forced fumbles in a year, his rookie year. So in his first 3 years before he got hurt, his fourth year, 36 sacks and 15 forced fumbles. He's the all-time forced fumble leader for the Oilers and the Titans. He's fourth all-time in sacks for the Oilers and the Titans. I know we're just talking Titans draft picks, but that's the whole team history since 1960. So Keith Bullock wasn't a starter until his third season, although, as you said, they found plenty of ways to use him.
Yeah.
When he became the starter, for the next 7 years, Blaine, he never missed a game. He never missed a game until his final year.
And I love
that. Consistency.
Yeah, Mr. Monday Night, he can make big plays in the run game as well as the pass game. If he was getting drafted today, he would be a superstar because he can play inside and he can also run with the best of them. People don't understand. Bullock played safety at Syracuse and they moved him. So he was there with Donovan Darius. And I guarantee you he could beat Donovan Darius in a 40. He may never admit it. I bet they're friends. But this guy was long, athletic,
long
fast.
Arms.
Yeah, the guy looked like a basketball player. I mean, now you see him, you'd be like, oh, you didn't eat because, you know, he's long. He's linky. I mean, now he's not even, you know, bulked up. He had to get to that, you know, 230. And so, Bullock missed a Monday night. When he did that against Drew Brees, and if you ever have a real serious conversation with him, he acts like it was easy. The way he explains it, I was like, that dude is one of the best ever.
Ever.
He's in a conversation. He's in the top 5, 10. I mean, and he was like, well, yeah, you know, I just baited him. I just opened my hips this way, and then I would turn right back, and then he would throw it. It's easier said than done, Keith, like that, but I get it because you did it 3 times in one game, and everybody saw it.
The whole world.
Yeah, that was like, wow. And I wasn't shocked because I know what he did out there. Yeah, he was another dude. Yeah, that's when you start saying, uh-oh, we got dudes, the DN, and now we got a linebacker that all are faster than a starting strong safety. You go, uh-oh, I'm getting old. Uh-oh, my time is coming. And I felt like I hadn't lost a step at all. Yeah, so those guys were phenomenal. Phenomenal athletes. I mean, off the charts.
If I did my math right, Blaine, KB is the Titans' all-time leading tackler. He's also second in tackles for loss for the franchise for all of its years. Yeah. Haynesworth, we're talking about this. He wasn't the AP Defensive Player of the Year in 08, but he was the Sporting News Defensive Player of the Year. He should have been everybody's. Yeah, everybody's Defensive Player of the Year in 08. CJ2K is third behind Eddie and Earl Campbell rushing for the franchise all time, including a 2,000-yard season. And some people are saying LaJuan's already made 3 Pro Bowls.
Right, right. So, LaJuan's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation, too.
No doubt. We can't forget. I know they're in the trenches, and we always go with the skill position. But he's had a heck of a career, and unfortunately, you know, he tore his ACL. I think he'd be more so in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because then now you're talking about, you know, what, 4 Pro Bowls? I mean, in not that many years, you know, what, 6, 7 years? So, yeah, I think LaJuan, you know, and I mean, you can even mention just because of the position, Marcus Mariota. But since he didn't finish here, not still here, being the second pick of the draft, you say it was a failure. But he had some solid seasons. Nothing spectacular. Some spectacular plays, though.
Right.
Throughout that time. But the inconsistencies kind of way more heavy on what you say about Marcus and his play on the football field. And you can't say anything gravely great and nothing gravely bad, but he's just right in the middle because it was so up and down.
Mike Griff, I had a couple people hit me with Mike Griff on Facebook.
Mike Griff, Griff.
You talk about all the ability in the world.
Well, there's a reason why he went first round.
I
mean, remember now, when he first got here, he was playing corner. People forget about that.
Oh, man.
Mike Griff, as far as I'm concerned, Mike Griff is the most talented Ain't nothing no shot at Byard, but he's the most talented safety in their history right now. Now, did he play up to that talent? It's always tough when you're a first-round pick. Byard is getting real close to outdoing statistically what he did. But 1 year, Mike Griff was dominant from deep in and ball hawking and everything else and tackling. He was a force. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know my love for Mike Griff.
I know.
Byard's getting real close, man, because those guys are doing things that I wasn't great at, and that was being a ball hawk. And those guys, and not only, you know, they mastered being you know, a tackler and enforcer in the run game. They also are impacted in the pass, so the totality, and they could cover. So they hit all the check marks for me.
Well, and you've talked a lot about Mike Griff over the years, but when we have him on, I know he's got all love in the world and respect for you, and how you played that position of tight end safety before him and Byard the same way. So I know they look at 2-3. Just like the way you look at those guys, but
yeah, they're a lot more talented than I was, but hey, I got the most out of my body.
Hey man, you sure did. Every day we got to get the most out of this show. Buck Rising, he's mad about lots of stuff, including the new number system for the NFL. He's his rocker mad about that. Let's get him angry again after this. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, 1 to 3 every day. Man, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. We know that a bunch of you are doing that, and that means a lot to us. We're having a good time. We've got phones open. Anytime we're talking, you just jump right in, 615-737-1045, or hit us up on Twitter at Blaine and Mickey. You can follow us there for all the latest with the show. We would love to hear from you. 7 days out from the NFL draft, Buck Rising is set to join us here within the next couple of minutes.
Man, I was super nervous. Oh, I was super nervous. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get drafted. Because when they start telling you, like, oh, you're a mid to late rounder, I'm like, man, that's a broad range. So you're talking about fourth round through, at the time, it was still 8.
Yep.
I was like, oh, my gosh. I don't know, man. That's a coin toss. There's so many players in that range. And then, you know, the grades are all what they are. So there's a lot in that last round, which is the round I went, 214, still today, is like, well, there's a whole bunch of guys that are all the same. Mm-hmm. So what makes me better than the other guy? So I was perturbed. I was pissed off from that. When I always say to piss off, it started then, right that day. When I start seeing guys go off the board that I, in my mind, was better because I played in the Senior Bowl, went to the combine. So I was pretty aware of who was better than me. But if we were the same and you weren't, I'm like, mm-mm, no way. And it all started when they took Jason Belzer, the Indianapolis Colts, in the 5th round. I'm like, who? I was pissed, and I was not. But I knew who he was. So I'm mm-mm. And I was a corner, but I was like, mm-mm, no way. They going to pay. Somebody going to pay. And then I'm getting phone calls talking about, we're going to take you. The Oilers was one of them and did not take me in the 5th round. I was like, oh. I said, no, I went to the library. I told you the story before. Went to the Bracken Library, and I said, I'm about to be cracking at the Bracken. Yep. And I was on the 2nd floor, sitting up there studying for a test. I said, well, obviously, if I ain't going in the middle rounds in the 4th, 5th round, then I'm not going to get drafted in my mind. So I'm going to study for a test. I'll see it on the ticker when I come back. Wasn't no draft parties, wasn't nothing. I was sitting there with me and my roommate. That was it. Not no parents. I'm in my apartment on campus. So I was perturbed. Then when they called me back and said they're going to take me, I was driving back.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not buying TV right now. And it was Buddy Ryan. I said, I'm not buying TV, but I said, hey, y'all called before, like some rounds ago, and said y'all going to take me. And I'm sitting there watching TV. My name never crossed the screen. So I don't even know if I should believe y'all.
Oh, man. What did he say to that?
He said, yeah, that's how dumb I am. He said, no, we're going to take you. I said, well, until I see it, will I believe it? I said, but I'm not buying TV right now, so I'll be there in about 5 minutes. So he said, well, the pick is in. We're going to pick. I said, okay, thank you. Until I see it, though.
Buck yeah, Rising.
So I was already planning to be a free agent. So my agent had already called me. I mean, 214 was like in the middle of the last round at the time. And I'm you know, the other free agent, they were already on the horn. The Giants, the Jets, because they had no more picks. They were calling the Browns, the Bengals. I'm like, oh, my God, man, where should I go? I mean, what should I do? I don't know who needs a cornerback. And at the time, I'm not knowing people are looking at me as a safety. I'm thinking I'm a corner. I said, shoot, I was running stride for stride with the missile. Except Javon Kurz wasn't. But yeah. I said, I was at the Senior Bowl running with that guy all day. I was like, shoot, man, I could roll anybody. I got to call my name across that thing, go across the ticker. I was jumping for joy. Then I went and looked at their roster. I go, well, I don't know. My goal should be I'm going to make the practice squad. I was like, oh, man, they made it. I should have took me. Why did they drive me?
We got to draft Buck Rising into the show, Blaine. How from the Buck Rising Show and A to Z Sports, Buck Rising brought to you by Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Buck, how about that for a draft story? Blaine was in the library, then driving home from the library when he got his phone call.
Well, what were you reading in the library, Blaine?
No, I had a test. The next day. So that was Sunday for me. So I had a test on the next day. So I'm like, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's well, I mean, did you end up passing the test? I guess that's the question.
Oh, absolutely. I was an honor student there, Buck. I graduated with a 3.4, by the way. Yeah, yeah. When you go to Ball State, Buck, you don't know you're going to the NFL, so you better get your books. And I already have my State Farm insurance job lined up.
There you go. I was like, State Farm insurance. Can you imagine?
Hey, man, he was ready to be a good neighbor, bro. Jake from
like
State
a good
Farm
neighbor, like
State
a good
Farm.
Neighbor, Blaine Bishop is there. Like a good neighbor, Blaine Bishop is there. It could have been you in the commercials with.
Yep.
It could have been you in the commercials with Mahomes and Rodgers, Blaine. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty
good
thing.
Yeah, it was in Richmond, Indiana. Richmond, Indiana. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Oh,
God,
there long.
No, nobody does. Richmond's a terrible place. I'm glad you got out.
Hey, Blaine is worried about you, Buck. He's concerned about something that's happening he saw earlier today on social media.
Oh, yeah, man. I saw that, man, you're about to get fired for a complaint with A to Z. And you had to explain the story of what's going on here that you were ripping, you know, a collar or something. And they were upset and used all kind of expletive to try to get you canned from A to Z.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's a good thing I'm working this dual salary situation, so if something falls through, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But so somebody sent Austin Stanley and Zach Bigham, who run A to Z Sports, an email about a month and a half ago, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically saying that I had insulted my guest, who I don't have guests on the primetime show. It's just me in front of a camera and a microphone screaming for, you know, 35, 45 minutes every night. So I assume he was talking about him. And I do have a tendency to go at people because, you know, the internet is a stupid place and people say stupid things on the internet. And, you know, it's good to keep people engaged if they can get a rise out of me. So I understand it. But apparently, whatever I said to this poor soul, made him so upset that he had threatened to file a class action lawsuit against A to Z Sports, of which I believe that has yet to come to fruition. So I await the legal paperwork at the viewer's earliest convenience. But then last night he sent another message into the chat while I was doing the primetime show, 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday to Thursday night on A to Z Sports, and he said, A to Z Sports, fire this man, as if he was speaking to my bosses, when in reality, the chat goes directly to me, so I don't know if he's just too dumb to realize that he's talking directly to me. So, you know, I think I handled it very respectfully, and I told him where he could inquire about relieving me of my duties. I gave him both of my bosses' contact information, and I told him to have a lovely Wednesday evening, so I'm not sure whether he followed up with them or not.
We're on with Buck Rising with A to Z and the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone.
That's right. He has not been relieved of his duties. But I'll tell you what's been relieved of its duties. That's restrictive numbering for skilled players of the NFL. But two people are mad about this. You and Tom Brady are big mad about single digits and linebackers wearing 12 and all the other possibilities.
It's just so dumb. Like it's the only old man get off my lawn sports opinion I think I've ever had. So I don't know if this is just me aging or what's happening to me, because nobody else seems to care about this the way that I am bothered by it. But it just feels amateur. Like, I don't need linebackers wearing single digits. I don't need wide receivers wearing 40. I think that's an incredibly, I think you want to keep some things that are college traditions in college and leave the NFL alone. Leave this, you know, and I don't want to call it a gimmick, because there's plenty of gimmicky stuff that trickles up from college to the pros. But I mean, for what? Like, are Titans fans out there really looking at Derrick Henry and saying, this man is a 2,000-yard-plus rusher, one of only 8 players in NFL history to do it, a back-to-back rushing champion, wearing the number 22. So I want to see him change his number? I don't think – maybe I'm alone in this. I don't know. It's just dumb to me.
I was looking at it more as, you know, in a league where you don't have a lot of individuality, this will actually allow a little bit of it. And, you know, Blaine was saying earlier, he might get fined $5,000 if his sock was too close to his ankle or folded down. You know, this at least gives these guys a little bit of individuality.
Which is a fantastic argument to that, and I appreciate that context. But in the same breath, they're talking about restricting, you know, taunting and celebrations again, so that they're more tightened up on that. No pun intended. So for whatever little victory they think the players think that they're getting, there's going to be something where the league is just going to be stuffy and ridiculous about. I'd rather see Odell Beckham Jr. lifting his leg like a dog in the end zone and acting like he's peeing in celebration of a touchdown than I would rather see him wearing the number 3. I just would.
Buck Rising joins us right here on Blaine and Mickey.
So how do you think that would impact a 8-year-old if he saw someone in the end zone peeing like a dog to doing a dance with a jersey number of 45?
Yeah, I want nothing to do with that, Blaine. I would just start banging, my head against the glass in the press box, screaming, "Make it stop!" That's how that would go down.
Well, we were talking about who was the best Titan first round pick in Titans history. Love to get your thoughts since '99 to today. Only first rounders. Who would you say is in the conversation? Who do you think is the best?
Man, that is an interesting conversation, because my context for performance on the field really only spans about the last 5 years since I've been covering the team. I didn't grow up watching the Titans that way. So I think I probably would be doing somebody a disservice by just my memory of the team not going back far enough. But just within the context of the last 5 years, because I'm sure there have been better players selected in the first round. John Robinson's run on first round picks has yet to really pan out outside of Jeffrey Simmons, Jack Conklin. You know, these guys, these aren't guys who have made it to a second contract
and LaJuan.
Yeah. And LaJuan
was actually
wasn't the first
Rustin
round
Webster,
pick.
Yeah.
LaJuan was taken pick before of John Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
correct.
Okay.
With that in mind, you know, I don't want to do a disservice to the Titans greats who have come before them. But if I understand correctly, Javon Kearse was a first round pick, and it's hard to beat anybody called the Freak.
Yeah, the Freak out. He had his own song played there. Well, I guess besides getting irritated with, you know, the number issue, are there any rule changes that you want to happen that actually haven't happened? Because I want you to then email the sheriff, Roger Goodell, and tell him these are must-haves for you.
Rule change-wise? I mean, you know, I like the it's a minor adjustment, but I like what they did with making onside kicks easier to field. I really think that, you know, the way that they're going to have less people in, I think it's called the technical term is the setup zone for onside kicks. I want there to actually be the threat more than the infinitesimal chance that a team has of being able to recover an onside kick. I want that to be more, you know, more viable. So I really, really like the change that they've made to that rule. I mean, I think the thing that I would do away with, Blaine, is I don't, you know, for the same reason, the only reason that I'm not into soccer is because games can end in draws. I want regular season ties done away with. I want there to be a winner and I want there to be a loser. I hate the way that the format is set up that way. That's really my only complaint outside of, you know, because the game has changed in all the ways that I want it to change. I want more points. I want more touchdowns. I want to see these NFL quarterbacks, these star players last longer. They've done all of these things for me because I'm a millennial and I have a short attention span. So I appreciate that. But you can send the ability for teams to tie in the regular season straight into the sun because I think that's such a waste of time.
All right. And lastly for me real quick is who has more pressure when you get drafted, the first rounder or the last rounder or undrafted player?
Well, I mean, the pressure would be on the first round pick. No, I mean, the salary is, everybody knows what a first round pick is making. Not everybody is paying attention to what the undrafted rookie free agent who gets recruited by the team immediately after the draft ends is making. In fact, that's the better story, right? Whereas if a first round pick, I mean, look at Corey Davis. Corey Davis was a fine player. He was a good player. He was not the fifth overall pick in the draft. Great player. That is going to follow Corey Davis for however long he continues to play in the NFL. The expectations on Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, Rashawn Evans, who we're going to have an interesting conversation about probably after the draft concludes, whether they will pick up his fifth-year option or not. That remains to be seen. So without question, the expectations, the demands, and rightfully so, are far higher on a first-round pick than they are on anyone else because we hyper-focus on the first round as if your team cannot legitimately improve in rounds 2 through 5. It's got to be the first-round pick. I mean, with the hit rate on the first-round picks being so much worse than it is on a second or a third-rounder, people hyper-focus on these things so much so that, you know, the top 5 quarterbacks have fallen, their draft stock has fallen or their draft stock has risen 7 or 8 times in the 2.5 months that we have to talk about this thing from the time that the regular season ends, just because we don't have anything else to make the news cycle fresh. It's stupid, but it's the reality of the situation.
Well, we're Buck Rising from Buck Rising Show and A to Z Sports, Nashville.
Buck, we've got some seating available on the Christian Barmore train, and have I been able to kind of glean from your recent talking and interviews, maybe while you had Dane Brugler on, that you would like to join me on the Christian Barmore at 22 train? Should I make a reservation for you?
You may do that, and you may make. Am I allowed a plus one? Because I think we should bring more people on this trip with us, Mickey. I have had my opinion shifted. Mostly by Dane Brugler, to be honest with you, because it's not because of that. And Lucas told me today that was who you selected in your 104.5 The Zone mock draft brought to us by our friends at Chattanooga Whiskey. I love the idea. I love the idea because it's stupid to draft a corner thinking that the corner is going to fix your defense when the biggest problem with the defense was last year was that you couldn't sniff a quarterback. What makes more sense is to upgrade the talent, not just the talent, but the depth along your front 7 so that you have the ability to roll, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 deep off of the edge or off of the defensive line to where Tier Tart isn't your third best option. He's your fourth, where your Christian Barmore may play 30 or 40% of the snaps. But if he's playing 30, or if he's doing more with that 30 or 40% of the snaps, and he's bothering quarterbacks more with that 30 or 40% of the snaps, it makes all the sense in the world. Your secondary, and Blaine, I'm sure, you know, I'd be curious your thoughts on this. Your secondary can be helped massively, or your secondary can be your deficiencies in the secondary can be hidden much easier if you have the ability to get pressure with four. I think that upgrading that talent there and that depth, which failed them mightily when players got injured last year, makes all the difference in the world.
But good stuff, man. Normally you join us on Friday. We appreciate you taking a little time to join us by phone on this Thursday. On the way out, I'll ask you, are you fully engulfed in draft fever? Will you spend your weekend, you know, perusing mock drafts and continuing to try to figure out, you know, who the best option might be in the late, you know, fifth round or something as a value pick? Or are you fully engulfed in flames with the draft?
I mean, I'm going to do it because it's my job and that's what everybody else wants to talk about. But in the meantime, I consider it wildly sadistic that I would have to spend any more time looking over the same people that I've been looking at for the last 2.5 months. But that's the gig. So, you know, you do what you do.
Maybe something will change. All right, Buck, have a great weekend. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week as it will be draft week. And we'll continue to talk about all of the same people even more. Thank you.
You know what? We'll actually be able to talk about somebody who's on the team this time, though. So I look forward to having an actually substantive conversation because there will be a selection finally, thank God, made. See you, boys.
All right. See you. And remember, right, folks, you can send all those single-digit Titans jerseys as Christmas gifts for Buck. Just send them to the station, 104.5 The Zone. He talked about the rule change for onside kicks. How hard was it to recover an onside kick last year? It was almost impossible. They had to make a change. I'll tell you why. That's next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate you going our way today from 1 to 3. 3HL's got you covered next from 3 to 6. They'll get you home today. So the NFL does have rule changes. The one, oddly enough, that's getting all the talk is the one that made Buck Rising and Tom Brady mad. It's that, you know, now running backs and defensive backs and linebackers basically can all wear essentially any number from 1 to 49. Linebackers can wear also all the way up to 59. But anyway, I don't know how many guys will switch. You know, you have to buy out. This is crazy. The NFL, who normally doesn't do stuff like this, if you want to go ahead and switch, you have to buy out the remaining inventory of whatever jersey you have left. So if you're Odell Beckham or Derrick Henry, or I talked about like Jayon Brown, for instance, who was number 12 in college, he could wear that number now if he wanted to. You got to buy the remaining inventory of your jersey. For you think about it though, Blaine, if you're, you know, more of an end of a roster type guy, you know, your jersey's not for sale in the pro shops, but you don't have to buy anything. You just switch jerseys. You know, you're like a career special teams guy. There's no jersey of yours printed up. You just go ahead and switch. Live the dream, man. Wear whatever you want to. The other two things that stuck out to me from the rule changes, there was a proposal that a referee in the booth could look at the TV replays and just say, no, that's this, or no, that's out of bounds, or no, that was past it. That was a proposed change. They didn't do that. They didn't give some eye in the sky ultimate power, but replay officials can now offer advice based on what they've seen on broadcast replays for possession, completed or intercepted passes, the location of a ball relative to the boundary or end line, it says, and whether a player is down by contact. And in one of the stories I read, it said there are certain officials in the booth, Blaine, who already did that. Like they would be telling the guys, hey, man, I'm looking at this. They said informally there were some guys in the booth who already did it, but not everybody. The other, and here's the thing, you've got all the technology in the world. I'm for getting calls right. I mean, don't make the game last an extra however long. But if you can hurry through it, get a call, right? You know, why not get it right? The other one was this that stuck out. Buck talked about it. Buck Rising in our last segment, if you're just joining us. It's a one-year experiment for onside kicks. In 2021, the receiving team on kickoffs will be limited to 9 players, like they said, in the setup area, which is within 25 yards of the ball. Last season, here, and it seemed like it never happened. Last season, there were 67 onside kicks and 3 got recovered. At that point, just do away with it or figure something else out. They're at least going to try something else. I appreciate them at least trying.
Well, I mean, hearing that last thing you said last year, I love to learn the body of work of more than just one season. So you don't want to be a knee-jerk reaction and changing rules. The other rules, you know, I have no issue with, but that could have been an anomaly. It could have been just the teams have gotten better at getting the ball, you know, and recovering it. So I'd love to see, though, the onside kick. If they're really serious about safety, then they just can't have it. You got to do some pooch kick or what have you. And then teams will be pissed off because they have really no shot of getting the ball back. So I don't know if it'll ever go away, but maybe you can choose to get the ball on the 40. I don't know. But got to be some other ideas to it if you're really trying to take that out of the game.
Well, remember they had changed the kickoff to where what you couldn't run until the ball got kicked. They had made some changes.
Yeah, they did.
And then they just didn't. It just didn't work for the onside kick because that whole thing was predicated on like everybody starts to run when the kicker starts to run, and when the ball gets kicked, you're all running full speed. Well, if you can't run until the ball gets kicked, that's basically the kicker just kicking it to the other team before you've taken two steps.
Steps, yeah. So that was never going to benefit the team trying to get the ball back. So
three of 67.
Yeah. So them, I think they're trying to figure out how they can actually then give the team that's kicking the ball an opportunity to actually get the ball back. Where can you do that and be safe? So I don't know if that's in their cards and they think like that, or they just tell the other team that they get the ball with no onside kick, but they get penalized and the team gets, you know, has to get the ball on the 10-yard line or something. I don't know.
There were some proposals like that. There were proposals in lieu of an onside kick, things like that. And I mean, the NFL is like, hey, man, let's not just go crazy here. We'll just take two guys and move them 26 yards away from the ball. That'll fix it.
Yeah. Well, what did the XFL do? They did something on kick or on onside. Did they do the onside kick? I thought they changed something and it became like, oh, dang, I'm intrigued about this. Man, I forgot what they did on the onside kicks.
Didn't they put the sides close together except for the return man and the kicker? Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
So the kicker kicked the ball, and gosh, we talked about this when it happened, but I've slept since then. And the returner had time to catch the ball and then start running before anybody could get to it.
There.
They took away the big collisions. But it's for everybody except the return man. He had a full head of steam.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that, because at least the offensive team, you know, you got a chance of having a good return. So, yeah, you never know, man. But let's just don't go crazy on all the rule changes. Everything, you know, it's pretty cool. At the end of the day, they want to see more points and more opportunity for the offensive players. So, obviously, that's a catch to the fans, do their research. And whatever you can do to get the offense, you know, more opportunities is always going to be good for the game.
By the way, hit us up on Twitter on the way out here at Blaine and Mickey. We got the question: best ever Titans first round draft pick. I also posted that on my Facebook. Greg Arias, who's covered the Titans as a reporter, he said it's a tough call. KB had a longer run, but Curse changed the franchise and set a new city on fire. I thought that was an interesting.
That's a good take.
It gave me goosebumps thinking about it. But
hit us up there. CJ 2K too, man. CJ 2K. Ooh, but yeah, it started with that 99 season. Ooh, that may give him the edge. I like that.
Hit us up. You can answer. We'll get maybe to some more of those tomorrow on Friday, because tomorrow's Friday. So we'll be celebrating that with you. And
I'll take it tomorrow.
We'll get into that and some more right now. Time for 3H. Y'all have a great Thursday night, everybody. We will see you tomorrow, Friday, right here. Blaine and Mickey.
Happy Thursday. Peace.